Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, there's a lot that we could be talking about, right? We could talk about a $900 billion COVID relief bill tacked onto a $1.4 billion, trillion dollar. You got to change your language when you start talking about the government. Millions, that's nothing. Billions, that's nothing. Now you got to deal with trillions. So $900 billion COVID relief package or a $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill. Tie all that together and what do you get? You get a big old turd, for lack of a better word. And so then Trump last night, I did the show yesterday. You're going to meet my new friend, Joe Markowitz, who's stuck with me forever because he's like me, he's a follower of Christ. So sorry, Joe. Yesterday's show, Joe, I did, the name of the show yesterday was I Agree with AOC, now, which was a first. Have you ever agreed with AOC?
I don't think so.
Okay, so yesterday, when all the omnibus stuff was going on, she put out a tweet about how ridiculous it is that they're giving us a 5,500-page bill and expecting us to vote on it in a couple hours. Nobody can read it, and the American people, of course, don't know what's in it, and it's hearkening back to Nancy Pelosi, and we'll tell you what's in the bill after we pass it and all that kind of garbage. So Ted Cruz came out and said, he retweeted AOC and said, I actually agree with AOC. Then I read that and I read AOC's comments. And I'm like, I agree with AOC. And then Tulsi Gabbard put out a video to that effect. And I'm like, okay, now I agree with Tulsi Gabbard as well. And then last night, the president comes out saying, this whole thing's a pain. This is ridiculous. We're giving a pittance of $600 to people to help with COVID relief. I think it should be $2,000. And then last night, AOC comes out, Pelosi comes out, Bernie Sanders comes out and says, well, we agree with the president. That's the bizarro world we're in today. We could spend all afternoon talking about that, but we're not going to. We're going to spend our hour talking about an American success story and what God has done in one man's life and trying to touch other people's lives. And in this case, not only through business practices, Joe, but also through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then a little venture that Joe started a couple years ago called Defender Gear. Defender-gear.com is the website. I'll show you some of that. As just like two guys that grew up, we're going to find out about Joe's background and how he came to know the Lord and your success as a business person. But both of us, Joe, got to the point where we're like, okay, we see what's happening in this culture and in our country, in a country that's been really good to us. And I can't sit idly by and do nothing.
Yeah.
Because then you have to engage.
You got to engage. As a believer, you know, we have to fight and engage where we're planted.
Yeah.
This is, as a believer, we've got to be able to, we've got to be able to take our passion and not wait for the perfect time, but we've got to engage and we've got to get involved and we've got to talk and we've got to move. And, you know, we're going to be held accountable by what we do or don't do, Steve.
Yeah,
and that's part of my story.
Yeah. And so the we're going to unpack that because in many ways, Joe and I share a similar path as we've engaged in different types of business background and stuff. But then as we go back and we're going to do that to kind of see, all right, what kind of ground did this come out of? Because whether Joe's a successful business person or not, whether you are or not, as a follower of Christ, we all have a calling on our lives, and it's not just to benefit ourselves, it's to benefit others and hopefully bring glory to God. But where do you trace all this back to? Business success, caring about the country, the willingness to take a step of faith and do something about it. What was it like growing up, Joe Markowitz?
Yeah, so I grew up in upstate New York, Rochester, New York. My dad worked for Kodak, graduate of Penn State. My grandparents grew up in coal mining country, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Pennsylvania. My mom was a registered nurse. You know, my dad worked during the day. My mom would always work at night, third shift. She worked, she was delivering babies at night. Four kids, I was the oldest of four. And I had a great upbringing. I was able to get an engineering degree at RIT up in Rochester, New York. Steve, my first passion, believe it or not, was not to become an engineer. That was by default. My dad was an engineer, but my passion, my dream was to play professional baseball. I had some looks coming out of high school. I did get hurt in college, and that pretty much solidified my path to finish up my degree. I get down here to Raleigh, North Carolina, work for IBM. All my friends, my parents, everybody thought that I was set for life.
Yeah.
I was really good. Yo, you're, man, you're so lucky. You work for this big company. You are set. For me, and I'm just going to give you the highlights, for me being set, I didn't feel that. As good as I had, as a stable job I had, so to speak, there was always something saying there had to be more. And it wasn't because I was unhappy about my income. I was very fortunate. Some of my college buddies didn't have what I had. But it really led me to be in a great position to say, I'd love to be able to start a business of my own. And that's how things got started early. And I came across some wonderful people that became not only great mentors of mine, but great friends of mine today. And I just choose very carefully who I listen to.
Yeah.
Wasn't afraid to work.
Very important.
Wasn't afraid to learn, but I just needed a mentor and a coach. And that's how I got started in business.
Would you describe your upbringing as kind of middle American?
Very middle American. Yeah. You know, we lived in a modest home. When you're putting four kids through eventually college, second mortgages on homes, cars. I don't think I ever remember mom and dad had a new vehicle. It was always pre-owned.
Yeah.
Most of the time in upstate New York, it gets really cold in the wintertime.
Yeah, just a little.
Doesn't work. It doesn't start, you know. But, yeah, it was middle America.
And what about faith-wise growing up? What was that like?
For me, I grew up Catholic, which meant mom and dad, you know, with my background, Polish, Lithuanian background, dad got us to church. We went to church.
Yeah.
All right. But that's the extent of it. I was not a believer. It wasn't anything other than an obligation. And that set me up for what happened later in life.
Well, I think, and now you grew up Catholic. I grew up mainline Protestant denominations. My wife, Gina, grew up Catholic. And what we all have in common, even though we didn't share the same faith tradition, is you go because it's the right thing to do. And you went, presumably, your whole young life on somewhat of a regular basis. I did as well. But neither one of us were believers. So you can be in church. You can be church. You can be religious. You can be Protestant. You can be Catholic and still not be a Christian. So we're going to get into that as well. And then more business success. And then eventually, how did you get to the point where you started Defender Gear? What is Defender Gear? I've got a bunch of examples here in the studio, which is really cool. And one American who follows Christ with another American who follows Christ trying to help out our fellow Americans, not just with the gospel, but with the country itself. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back with Joe Markowitz. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and Friday is Christmas Day. And I heard a rumor that a week from Friday is actually going to be New Year's Eve, and we're actually going to enter 2021. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm here with Joe Markowitz. I'll believe it when I see it. I keep checking my calendar, Joe, every once in a while going, is 2021 still out there? What's your read on? We're going to get back to your story, and I appreciate you being here today, and you guys are going to learn more about Joe's story and all that the Lord has done in his life and Defender Gear, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, defender-gear.com. But what's your read on 2020? Let's kind of pull it back forward here a little bit, then we'll go back in and learn more about your faith journey.
Well, 2020 in our world was about making corrections. It's about adapting. I like to say that we're going to have to figure out, as in my world, entrepreneurs, adapt, create, and execute. You know, Steve, we haven't missed a beat, but we just had to do it differently.
Yeah.
In my world, it's about reaching people. You got to be reach people, inspire people, coach people, train people, develop people. It's got to be built upon trust. We just had to figure out different ways to do it. So honestly, we haven't missed much. We just had to be creative. We had to adapt. So, you know, I just stopped watching all the mainstream media.
Oh,
I stopped listening to all the naysayers and all the people out there that have their own theories. We were too busy doing stuff to really pay attention to all the other people talking about how bad it was.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
And as an entrepreneur, you're going to find opportunities in a lot of different places. I think 2021 is going to be a year filled with incredible opportunity. Mm. no matter what you do.
Yeah, it's good.
Whether it's in Christian circles, and hopefully we'll touch upon that today, because sure. I'm a big believer in that. We have a great opportunity. But even if you have a desire to start a business of your own in this gig economy, you know, the side hustles that people have, there's going to be entire industries
yeah.
created, and people, multimillionaires, going to come out of times like this. I believe that.
Yeah, yeah, that's encouraging to hear. And that's that kind of that entrepreneurial spirit mixed together with that hope that never fades. And the trust that God can get us through these things, and not just, you know, drag yourself across the finish line, but that you actually might be able to succeed and do better than just finishing the race.
Yeah, I you see things out there in a different circles than I do, but I'm not discouraged at all. I'm not worried about it. I get more concerned about, which we'll talk about, our country,
yeah.
our liberties, our freedom. Which leads into a great segue to talk about my passion for starting Defender Gear a few years back. And so I'm very optimistic, and I choose to stay around optimistic people.
And that's so important. Yep. Yeah. And whether we're talking about building each other up in the faith, whether we're talking about business, or whether we're talking about the state of the country, we tend to you tend to smell like, taste like what you marinate in. So you better be very careful what you're marinating in, because that's going to determine who you are, how you act, what you say. And you're shaking your head because you know that to be true.
I don't want to catch what some people have.
Yes. Amen.
And it has nothing to do with COVID. It's a state of mind.
Yes.
It's their perspective in life.
Great
and
point.
And I just have learned to stay away from people that just do not have the vision and the passion and the optimism that I choose to be around.
Yeah, that's good boundaries to have in place. So growing up Catholic, I grew up mainline Protestant. How did you come to know the Lord in a saving way?
Oh, you know, straightforward, I'm going to tell you, I was very skeptical and cynical of Christians. Where we grew up, the only Christians I knew, pardon me for saying this, were broke, wimpy. And I don't want to criticize any particular denomination, so I'm going to tell you, I didn't have a very high regard for Christians.
Yeah.
Until I got out in the business world, and I started coming across people that not only were they successful, but they also had their act together. Mm. They had great marriages. Their families were amazing. Mary Beth and I, my wife, Mary Beth and I were dating forever. She would say, she's in the other room, she would say we're dating way too long. But I got around people that seemed to be able to have stability. I look at their kids. They had a great self-image. I heard people speak about truth confidently. I go, who are these people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the more I got around them, it was obvious. There was something on the inside that was different. I didn't have it, and I started really seeking it. And what that led to was actually at a business conference. Mm-hmm. And it was an optional Sunday morning service because we were all away from home. And my wife and I, girlfriend at the time, Mary Beth and I, we sat in that and we heard not a priest, not somebody had gone through a seminary. We heard someone who was a successful businessman, great family man, dad, husband, but also he was bold about who he served.
Mm.
And he was a believer. And he actually, for the first time in my life, he actually shared with me a very simple message called the gospel.
Yeah. New information.
And to me, it wasn't rules. It wasn't how many times I went to church. It wasn't about all the things that I'd done for God. I didn't do hardly anything for God at that point. I didn't think I'd ever have a chance.
Yeah.
And I heard a very simple message. It was true freedom and liberty spiritually.
Amen.
For all eternity, and it changed my life from the inside out, and that began my new journey.
What were some of the most obvious ways that affected you right from the get go? Because my wife and I were both lost when we got married. So we tell people we were equally unequally yoked, right? We're both lost. We got saved literally within weeks of one another. And some things changed to me. I grew up in a household where GD and JC was pretty much punctuation. And the day I got yeah. saved on the side of the road in outside Columbus, Ohio, I literally couldn't do it. I'd like get to that. So used to saying GD, you know, I would get, I just couldn't do it. Because all of a sudden, it wasn't some distant deity thing. It was my father or my savior, and I just couldn't get that.
Well, something on the inside of you to change.
Right.
You asked me what changed, and I'm sure my wife is smiling in the other room, but I used to cuss like a sailor. It was embarrassing to even think about how bad it was because my self-image was based upon how much I can get people to pay attention to me or be moved. And so I used to cuss like crazy.
Shock and awe.
And all of a sudden, something stopped me from doing it. I didn't want to do it. It was repulsive to me. And I know that might seem simple, but I had already, not that I was an alcoholic, but I was a party guy. I was a fraternity guy back in college. Yeah. I had no desire to drink anymore. Mm. I haven't had alcohol in 33 years.
Wow.
I don't even think I've ever cussed since I got in and got started and really changed my life. And
isn't that amazing?
And it's not because somebody told me or pointed a finger at me. It was that I didn't want to anymore.
Yeah. Desires
didn't
change.
Feel right.
Yeah. Well, the old man's dead. A new man comes alive.
Exactly.
Now, we still have to fight him. Paul made that obvious. You still have to fight that old man. There's an old Joe in there, and there's an old Steve in here, and we still have to fight him. But when your desire changes, especially overnight, that's when you know, okay. And then, of course, other people start recognizing that, and they're like, what happened to Joe?
What's different about you?
We'll talk about that when we come back talking to Joe Markowitz, defender-gear.com. You're going to learn about that as well as we move forward. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Good. Any water? You all right? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Would you wear this shirt? It's a black shirt. It's got red writing. Okay, here's what it says. It's got a little hammer and sickle up top. You might recognize that. It says, socialism kills hope, dreams, and freedom. I'm holding it up here for you to see on Facebook Live. If you're on the radio, well, you're missing it. Okay, so this is on Facebook Live. You can see that. You can see the back of it, right? Okay, would you wear this one?
This is a bold shirt.
Yes, Americans are descendants of those who refuse to be ruled. Live free or die. That's a pretty bold shirt.
We don't mess around with that one, and we have a good number of our customers. So they're pretty proud of that one. They wore that one into the election booth here a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and I could just see some people going into the store wearing that shirt without a mask.
Let's just say it's a conversation piece.
Yes, it is definitely a conversation starter. Now, these names are familiar, and we talked about this before when we were hanging out with our good buddy Dave at his studios recently, at his office. Washington, Adams, Franklin, Jefferson, hashtag squad goals. Now we have the current squad, which falls far short of this bar, obviously. Washington, Adams, Franklin, Jefferson. So you've got some constitutional stuff going on here. You have some governmental, political stuff going on. You've got also that we're talking about Defender gear now, okay?
Yep.
Now I've got this really cool hoodie. Beautiful, great. I love this fabric. I can't remember what this fabric is called.
It's a hoodie tee, yeah.
Chosen for more, John 15:16. Okay, so now they're like, what? That's the same thing, Defender gear. And my wife's going to love this. So here's another thing. This is also a hoodie.
Your wife will love it.
This is pink, though. America, strong, proud, and free since 1776. So you guys can see that one, too. Beautiful artwork, great messaging. And so how do you go from building a marketing business and being very successful? It's not like you were lacking income. And it's like, I need a side hustle so that I can bridge the gap here to pay our bills. So Defender gear, kind of what was the genesis of all of that?
Through the years, you know, you have a business of your own and you start, I start caring more. Mm-hmm. That there's just something about that if you succeed or fail, it's up to you. I like that responsibility. Give me a chance. I had a very comfortable job. But when I started a business of my own, there were outcomes that I wanted in life. And the things I did to get to the outcomes I wanted, never really liked them. You don't enjoy them all the time, but it's the outcomes you want. Well, God blessed us, and we still have those businesses going today. But for me, it's not enough to be able to be debt-free or take care of your family or to live in a nice home or have cars. To me, we're supposed to be doing more than just paying the bills, sitting at home and watching television.
Yeah, taking care of me, myself, and I.
I started caring about my country. I started really reading for the first time in my life the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. I started reading some of their early writings. I thought it was heroic what some of our founders did.
Oh, my goodness. Their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor.
And so I started having a greater appreciation of the men and women who walked the blue line and defend our laws and defend us on a daily basis.
Was there a line that got crossed? Was there some incident? Was there something that happened that drove you into this? You're a successful man, loves the Lord, married and kids.
Comfortable.
Appreciate the country. 4th of July, founding fathers, that's kind of the minimal standard for a lot of people, but it obviously went to another level. Was there something that triggered that? We'll use a 2020 favorite term now, triggered. Did Joe get triggered by something?
I really believe that that I remember when Ronald Reagan came on the scene. Now, I wasn't in business yet, but he was just finishing out his second term. But I got to tell you what, I loved how he spoke about America. It made me to be proud to be an American. I grew up in the 70s, not so much in the 60s. I was a kid, but in the 70s, nobody talked about the exceptionalism of America.
No.
You know, and Jimmy Carter, when he was wrapping up, we were in debt. We had gas lines. It was a disaster. And then here comes Ronald Reagan and made it cool to be an American again and to start believing in America and what America stands for and what liberties and freedoms we have. And it is exceptional. And I didn't say American exceptionalism in terms of arrogance.
Yeah.
It means that we are an exception to what we see in the world.
That's a great way of putting it.
And still today, for all the forces of people, forces of evil out there that are trying to pull down and to discredit America and to make us like everybody else, that goes against the grain of everything I believe in.
Yeah.
That we are special, that we are that shining light on the hill. And that freedom and liberty does not pass through the bloodstream and through the genes. I mean, we're one generation away, as
that's
Ronald
right.
Reagan would talk about,
right.
from losing our freedom. And so is there a line? I think it was just a metamorphosis over a period of time that I just started believing that there's some things worth fighting for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly right. That's the first thing that drove me on a mission trip as I had a successful small business. I'm in the kingdom. We're raising our kids. We're homeschooling. And so I hated the government, so I'm self-employed, right? So we homeschool. We do all the right things, and I'm going to take care of me, myself, and I. And God had to drag me halfway around the world to Africa before I had the guts to actually share the gospel with somebody because it didn't cost me anything over there. And all of a sudden, I started realizing, you know, one of these days with this castle I've built, I'm going to have to put down the gate and push my kids out into the world. And what am I pushing them out into? And what did I do to positively affect it? And that was just my 4 kids. What about all the other kids around me? So then I realized, very deeply convicted, that I was living an exceptionally self-centered life. And if your last name wasn't Noble, and if you didn't live where I lived, I wasn't particularly interested in what was happening to you. I was really interested in what was happening to us, but not to other people. And so I got convicted by my apathy. And you got to do something.
You know, you and I, we do it in different paths, in different arenas, but there is, for a believer, a true believer, a war in apathy. I don't think there's anything in the gospel that talks to us about being comfortable.
Yeah, no, that's not
That there has to be a... It's almost you better live outside your comfort zone. There is a dangerous freedom, and the world is not going to stand up and cheer for you. But if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And a greater one lives inside of me. I believe that if you're not being criticized, if you're not having people speak about you in a negative way, disparage you, if you're if you're comfortable every single day, you're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything. I'd go so far as to say you're not doing it right. Jesus said, in this life you'll have trouble, which in the original language is tribulation. You're going to get blowback. I don't run around and be a jerk in order to get blowback. But the more you run around and care about the things God cares about and fight for the things God wants us to fight for and to engage, and especially to wear that banner proudly as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to get some blowback. And if you don't, you're not doing it right. You're an undercover Christian, and there's no room in the Bible for that. That just doesn't exist.
This is so good. Yes, we've been blessed, and we've done well in business, but that platform, if you're using it just to be comfortable,
yeah,
I think there's going to come a point where you may lose that platform. Mm. There are so many people hurting out there, Steve. You see it in the people you minister to in my world, which is more of a business world, but there's so many people that are so hungry for truth.
Oh, man, yep.
So hungry for an example, a mentor, or somebody that could just talk about truth unashamedly, because a lot of people believe it, but they're doing it privately. They don't want to stick their neck out.
Right.
They're afraid of losing something or being criticized.
Or unfriended.
unfriended, social media. But what you and I do is we've got to this point where, okay, we figured out certain things in this world. We've had success to some degree. But what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
And that's where I was. And we've had a platform, and we use that platform to reach people who are hurting. And I think people of all different race, color, creeds, people that don't look like you and I, people that don't believe like you and I, they still want a better life for their kids and their kids' kids. They want to elevate themselves, but they also see you and I with a certain degree of joy and happiness. They don't have it.
Yeah.
The world doesn't have it.
Yeah, and that's so important to realize that that's, sometimes I say one of the most important, one of the most valuable things that I have in my life is my witness, which is why I enter this room Monday through Friday with a certain amount of fear and trembling. There's some roads I won't go down. There's certain ways I won't treat a caller because I know my witness is more valuable than my ability to win an argument or to put somebody in their place. But then to your point, if you have, and everybody listening or watching, you all have a platform. You say, well, I'm not a successful business person like Joe. So what? I don't have a radio platform like Steve. So what? You have a platform, and your platform is different than ours. Ours isn't better or bigger or whatever. It's just different, and you have to use yours. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with Joe Markowitz. We're talking about, well, an American success story. Yes, there's that successful business career, and then became a follower of Jesus Christ, he and his wife at the same time. And very similar to my wife and I, got saved within weeks of one another, and then built a successful business, doesn't need to worry about making a bunch of money, and then all of a sudden, seeing the world around him outside of his business surroundings, I got to do something about this, specifically talking about the country that we're so blessed to live in, and then Defender Gear, which started when? When did Defender Gear start?
It was about 4 years ago.
Defender-gear.com is the website. I'm looking at it right now, and I've shown you guys some of the stuff on Facebook Live. Defender.gear.com is the website. So there's ladies, there's a whole ladies side, there's men's side, there's outerwear, there's t-shirts. So I love some of these t-shirts. You've got the one that we talked about earlier, the enemy of our freedom, for you ladies. It's a really cute shirt that says socialism on the front. Got to read a little closer. That's really great. You got Defender, worth fighting for. I love that one. Ladies camo, fearless American t-shirt. Really cool stuff. Betsy Ross. Oh, that with the 13 stars. That's going to get you in trouble, Joe. What are you, nuts? Freedom Fighter. That one's out there. Resist socialism. I love that. For the people that watch and listen to this show, these are all ringing true. So, hey, by the way, Christmas is just a couple days away, and it's okay. It's not out of form to give Christmas presents that show up a couple days later. So take advantage of that, especially if you have patriots in your life and people that love the Lord, because you also have great Christian messaging in there as well. And you keep doing it. And what's your hope? What's your hope and prayer for Defender Gear, you and I have talked about this several times now. I'm not exactly sure what God's doing with what I do. He shows me enough that I keep going. He doesn't show me so much that I think I'm all that. But then what's your hope? What's your prayer? Why do you keep doing Defender Gear and speaking out? And you do the dispatch and you talk and you record and you put out videos. And you can find them on Facebook, by the way. They have a great page on Facebook, Defender Gear on Facebook. So check that out. At Defender Gear is the simple tag on Facebook. And then the website, like I mentioned, defender-gear.com. But what's the goal here? What are you trying to see happen?
Well, I never wanted to start Defender Gear just to have an apparel company because it's not the most profitable businesses in the world, I can tell you that. But, and here's one more thing. There's a whole lot of people that can make a T-shirt with an American flag on it, and there are thousands of them.
Oh, man.
And I never wanted to have a company like that. I wanted to be able to do something that lined up with what I believe. And so if you go to our website, which I appreciate y'all doing that, you will see messages that are biblically based, historically based. I do everything. I create everything, and it's got to line up with our ideals. And on top of that, I try to provide a good value, a good quality product. What's my goal with it? You know, there are some really big ones out there. My competitors are huge. And I won't mention them on the air. Will I ever get to that big? I don't know. That's not really my dream. My dream is to expand a platform so we can educate, so we can create dialogue, so we can let's come reason together. Mm. That I do believe that liberty and freedom, as our founders created, is not only good to be, it is the right way. We are all... by nature's law and the law of God, we're all born free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think most people are just ignorant and naive about who they are, and that and in fact, America is unique. It was created not by a revolution like we saw in France, which was a very secular revolution, but this revolution was started primarily through the pulpits. George Whitefield and many others that really spoke about that freedom, spiritual freedom, that we are all born free. And that inspired people to find out who they were and why it's important that the kind of government they create is for people. And if the people are in power, then we have liberty. If people are afraid of the government, we have tyranny. So you ask about my vision. It is to educate. It is to create dialogue. It is to create more, let's come reason together.
Yeah.
Rather than when we have differences, rather than calling each other names and yelling and screaming at each other, let's talk. Let's
have
talk about our differences. Our differences make America right if we handle it right, rather than just trashing people, censoring people, shadow banning people, and go on and on. So that's my hope. Who would have ever thought you and I'd be sitting here on a December 23 talking about this?
Yep.
You have a beautiful platform, my platform. We hope that we help each other get the word out.
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing. You talk about education. You talk about super important part of your story is that you educated yourself first. You got educated before you got loud. I got to go get educated first before I start speaking out. It wasn't even my idea to start teaching the Constitution. That was a homeschool mom's idea who taught it to my wife, who then told it to me. And then, of course, I was just being obedient. But then you go, okay, now I've talked about patriotism. I talk about caring about the country. But how much do I actually know the background and the backbone of how this thing works? Do I actually know the Constitution? Do I actually know why America exists? And what was going on back in the 1700s? You mentioned George Whitefield. Most people don't know. Without the First Great Awakening, there's no way we would have won the American Revolution because the country was falling apart religiously. It was becoming increasingly more secular, just like today. And religious apathy had set in, and the Enlightenment was there, which was just us getting high on ourselves. And then the First Great Awakening brought church unity, brought a ton of new people, and brought a boldness back into the faith that had to be there. This happened about 20, 30 years before the American Revolution got started. And then you start understanding that if you actually have a conversation, Joe, and you're talking to somebody like somebody that's watching Defender Gear, the YouTube channel, when you're doing a Liberty Dispatch video, which you guys need to go check out. If you can actually have a conversation, most people are rational. And if you actually can stay engaged long enough, you'll find some common ground. And then when they start thinking and emotions take a back seat to rationality, then there's, okay, because our founding fathers were brilliant, but they were rational. And it made sense. Mm-hmm. And understanding that these are inalienable rights because they come from God. It's not the government bestowing on us all these blessings.
Yeah.
It's we need a system that protects the blessings that we already have from a government because it's made of humans that tends to get too powerful, a concentration of power, thus checks and balances and all the other stuff. And we got to get back to education, which is why I'm totally right there with you. I think my number one job in all that I do is to educate, yeah, to inform. Because without that, forget it. It's over. And I think we're seeing that today.
We know that information is power.
That's right.
We just saw this in this election. And in fact, pretty much the last 4 years in Donald Trump's administration is that the mainstream media, academia, Democrats, the left, if they could now control the dialogue and they can control information.
That's right.
They could win. They could absolutely win. I want to go back to something. I believe in a practical sense, if I could inspire people to slow down enough and just let's come reason together. I loved asking people, why do you believe the way you believe?
Yeah.
As a Christian.
Oh, man.
What a great way to start a dialogue. Why do you believe what you believe? What are your values? Where do you come up with that? I don't know. It's a great way to begin something that could lead to maybe not at that moment, but then them finally reaching out and saying, I know there's more to this.
Yeah.
Same thing with their freedom and their liberties and our Constitution Republic. Why should people be really upset about what has happened over the last 2 months with this election? I don't care whether you are a big Biden supporter, I haven't found too many, or a Trump supporter. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that aren't you concerned,
yeah,
about the integrity of an election in a democratic republic? Let's talk about that. And rather than just having a mindset of the end justifies the means, we got to get that guy out of there.
Yep.
At what price?
Yeah.
The loss of our republic,
right?
Our election
integrity. Exactly right.
Etc.
And the things that we complain about, the wrong people with too much power controlling the narrative, that's exactly what happens when you allow election integrity to disintegrate. You're okay with it if it's your guy or gal benefiting, but wait until it's your ox getting gored. And then the whole narrative flips, and the side that was okay with it now in 4 years is going to lose their minds because on both sides, you have to have the intellectual honesty and you have to have the vision. The selfless vision. There's a word that would fit perfectly in the rationale behind what you're doing, and it's a word that our founding fathers used a lot that actually appears in our founding documents, and the word is posterity. Not prosperity, but posterity. What's coming behind us? I'm not fearful about much at all anymore, but I am fearful for the future of our children. Because if we lose the integrity of a voting process, this is not the United States of America.
That's right.
It's a banana republic dressed up like the United States, like wearing a T-shirt or something. Yep. But that ain't fundamentally America. And then who's running the country?
And this is what you and I are doing here, is that we're trying to take our little part of the world,
right,
as a catalyst.
Amen.
For biblical principles, integrity of our Constitution,
yep,
and preserving it.
And it all fits together, and it's all to the glory of God.
Always.
That's the deal. Joe Markowitz, what a pleasure. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. You're very, very welcome. I already had a few people jumping on Facebook Live, jumping over and getting some Defender gear for themselves, so that's fun. Make sure you do that. It will put you in the crosshairs because all of a sudden people are going to see on your shirt or your hoodie or your hat what you believe, but like Joe said, be willing and ready to have the conversation. Defender-Gear.com. You can also find him on Facebook and the YouTube channel to check out Joe's Liberty Dispatches. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you guys. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.